Well, I am very thankful for those of you who have chosen to listen to The Bigger Picture today. I'm your host, Marshall Wood, here on WCGA AM 1100, wonderful coastal Georgia. But we've also said wonderful and foundational coastal Georgia. And this program today is a special emergency edition of The Bigger Picture. Those of you expecting to hear Program 7 today, the continuation of Program 6, the previous week where we were talking about black and white churches and some folks both in the black and white community that are causing some difficulties theologically and politically in our world today, that will continue next week. But because of the events of the last few days, I felt a compulsion to come on air today and speak with you as if I'm speaking with friends, which you are. People who listen to this program know me, they know Wes, and our loyal listeners are folks that I count as friends. And of course, we have the casual listeners going up and down I-95, and there are also those wonderful folks that in the local area that have tuned in also or tuned in periodically. But please keep this in mind today because this is a special emergency program of The Bigger Picture, America's past, present, and future written in black and white. I want you to keep in mind that I am speaking to, well, let's just call them intimate friends. For the Christians that know what it means, the Greek word koinonia, the lowest and deepest level of relationship, I'm speaking in koinonia friendship to those who have an ear. I believe this is a critically important program, and I hope you see that as the program unfolds. Let me begin with prayer, if you will. And please join me as I ask our Father to be with us in the next 5 segments. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of sitting behind this microphone and speaking to those people who are listening. I pray that there are attentive minds, hearts, and spirits. I pray that those people know that I'm speaking to them as if they are intimate friends. And though I am speaking opinion, Father, I believe what I'm speaking is motivated by you, if not the words themselves coming from you. I pray that during this program I will speak no idle words, that anything spoken will be of value and not necessarily an errant opinion of the man who is speaking into the microphone. I ask, Father, that this program will bear fruit because of the time in which we live, because of things I'm going to talk to our friends about today. Time is very short to understand how critical specific actions are. This program today, those before it and those that will come after it, as well as actions taken by concerned Christian citizens in the days ahead, must bear fruit if we are to protect the foundations that made America great, and those foundations are spiritual. So I ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that you're with me in the remaining, 39 minutes of recorded minutes of this program, that you may be honored, and that if it is your will, America can be saved or at least put on a course to an eventual correction and salvation of this nation. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for being our merciful, loving, and patient Father. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. On October the 13th, 1973, my crew and I departed at, in military time, 2155, on C-141 38689, according to my flight log, with a load of cargo to be taken from McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey directly to Lajes Air Base in the Azores. We were flying that mission because on October the 6th, 1973, Israel was suddenly and violently attacked by an Arab coalition of nations who almost overran that country in the first 12 hours of the attack. About a week later, we had loaded up the supplies, and there were hundreds of sorties being flown by C-141 and C-5 and C-130 aircraft from the United States to Israel to protect her, to resupply her, and to ensure that our greatest ally, both militarily and politically and spiritually, was shielded from those forces that were attacking so unmercifully. What's important about this effort is that what happened then is now 50 years later, almost exactly. In fact, this is the day, the 13th of October, that my crew and I launched, along with the hundreds of other sorties of the other Air Force aircraft that went to lodge us in the Azores. But understand this, just like today, the supposed allies that we had weren't there to help us. In fact, they were a hindrance. We couldn't use Ramstein Air Base, where I flew monthly when I was flying 141s all over the world. We couldn't use Frankfurt Air Base. We couldn't use our base in Incirlik, Turkey. We couldn't use Torrejon Air Base in Spain. We couldn't use Mildenhall in England or any of the other places that I went all the time, because suddenly our bold allies, well, they felt that if they got involved, it would hurt the possibility of them getting oil from the Middle East and other things. And so Israel stood alone except for her reliable ally, America. And I was one of the many hundreds of crews privileged to take supplies to Israel. But the problem was, how are we going to do it if we didn't have bases that we could fly to refuel and do the other things to prosecute a necessary operation at the time? It was called the Nickel Grass Operation, to resupply Israel. Well, Portugal agreed to allow us to use Lajes Air Base in the Azores. And so the way we got supplies to Israel, incidentally, the U.S. Air Force flew three times the distance and carried twice the cargo that the Soviets did when they were resupplying Syria and Egypt and the other Arab allies who were going against Israel. It was just a miraculous operation. We flew into Lajes Air Base in the Azores. We crew rested, and then we picked up the next airplane coming in. It's called a staging operation. You fly an airplane in, a crew meets you, they leave, and then you take the next plane in after your crew rest and take it to the destination. We staged out of Azores. That was it. That was the only place we could do. And so those facilities at Lajes were absolutely overrun by the crews. We were sleeping, I think my crew slept on a billiard table in the officers' club. And then they proceeded on the next day. We were hampered. But in order to fly from Lajes in the Azores to Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, we had to fly an imaginary airspace existing between the North African air traffic controllers and the European air traffic controllers on the north of our route. So we flew right between Tripoli Center and Barcelona Control, and we flew right between Marseille and Tripoli, and then from Roma Control and I'm having a senior moment here, probably Cairo Center. We didn't talk to either of the agencies because they theoretically didn't control the airspace where there's a line between Libyan airspace and Italian airspace, et cetera, et cetera. So an interesting situation. We had no help. So we flew on this imaginary line from Lajes Air Base into a point called Charlie, 30 miles out of Ben-Gurion, then straight in to Tel Aviv Airport, two Israeli F-4s came up and got on our wing, left and right, respectively, to escort us in. We hit the ground, and we had 30 minutes to simply get that airplane turned. And we didn't have anything to do with it. El Al stewardesses were our hostesses. They came and got us, took us inside, fed us a quick lunch, brought us back to the airplane. And by that time, all the cargo had been offloaded. Any retrograde cargo was quickly put on, but there was very little. And we had been completely refueled, and then we were airborne again in 30 minutes. And this went on for several weeks as the U.S. Air Force put on a massive display of logistical operation, and the Israelis showed what an amazing group of people they are as they handle all these airplanes. It was one or two airplanes every 30 minutes. An incredible operation. Well, we're now in the midst of doing that now, but, and there's a big but here, we have a Democrat administration that even though they're saying a few right things, they're fumbling it badly, in my view. And Israel's very existence is at stake. And so in this program today, this emergency program, I want to point out a few things to you from my perspective about government handling of military operations and who these Islamists really are, not just Hamas or Hezbollah or the others, but who they really are. So return, if you will, for segment two of this special edition of The Bigger Picture, America's Past, Present, and Future, written in black and white. Because the words I speak to you today as an intimate friend have direct bearing on your lives. God bless you. I pray that I see you on the backside.